We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, chapter number 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwaraka, text 5. Nadyak samudra giraya savanaspati virudha palanta shadaya sarva kamaman vritu tasyavai. Nadya, rivers, samudraha, oceans, giraya, hills and mountains, savanaspati, vegetables, virudhaha, creepers, palanti, active, oshodaya, drugs, sarvaha, all, kamam, necessities, anvritu, seasonal, tasya, for the king, vai, certainly. Translation. The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers, and active drugs in every season paid their tax quota to the king in profusion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since Maharaja Yudhishthira was under the protection of the Ajita, the infallible Lord, as above mentioned, the properties of the Lord, namely the rivers, oceans, hills, forests, etc., were all pleased. And they used to supply their respective quota of taxes to the king. The secret of success is to take refuge under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Without his sanction, nothing can be possible. To make economic development by our own endeavors on the strength of tools and machinery is not all. The sanction of the Supreme Lord must be there. Otherwise, despite all instrumental arrangements, everything will be unsuccessful. The ultimate cause of success is the Daiva, the Supreme. Kings like Maharaja Yudhishthira knew perfectly well that the king is the agent of the Supreme Lord to look after the welfare of the mass of people. Actually, the state belongs to the Supreme Lord. The rivers, oceans, forests, hills, drugs, etc. are not creations of man. They are all creations of the Supreme Lord, and the living being is allowed to take use of the property of the Lord for the service of the Lord. Today's slogan is that everything is for people, and therefore the government is for people and by the people. But to produce the new species of humanity at the present moment on the basis of God consciousness and perfection of human life, the ideology of godly communism, the world has to again follow in the footsteps of kings like Maharaja Yudhishthira or Parikshit. There is enough of everything by the will of the Lord, and we can make proper use of the things. To live comfortably without enmity between man or animal and man or nature. The control of the Lord is everywhere. And if the Lord is pleased, every part of nature will be pleased. The river will flow profusely to fertilize the land. The oceans will supply sufficient quantities of minerals, pearls, and jewels. The forest will supply sufficient wood, drugs, and vegetables. And the seasonal changes will effectively help produce fruits and flowers in profuse quantity. The artificial way of living, depending on factories and tools, can render so-called happiness only to a limited number at the cost of millions. Since the energy of the mass of people is engaged in the factory production, then natural products are being hampered, and for this the mass is unhappy. Without being educated properly, the mass of people are following in the footsteps of the vested interests by exploiting natural reserves, and therefore there is acute competition between individual and individual and nation and nation. There is no control of the trained agent of the Lord. We must look into the defects of modern civilization by comparison here and should follow the footsteps of Maharaj Yudhishthira to cleanse man and wipe out anachronisms. Srila Prabhupada ki Надях самудра гираях саванаспати вирудах паландьо садаях сарвах каманнан вриттум тасьявай. The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers, and active drugs in every season pay their tax quota to the king in profusion. So Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport how everything depends ultimately on the consciousness of the king. The king who is in charge, the leader of the society, who is in charge of the society. By taking charge of the society in a proper way, by surrendering himself to the will of the Lord, makes sure that everything is proper, makes sure that everything is going on nicely. And this is the principle which is being neglected, the principle of surrender. Ultimately, the secret of success, as Prabhupada explains, is to surrender to the will of the Lord. Unless and until we surrender to the will of the Lord, there is no way to achieve success. We may depend on many artificial means for our success, and we are dependent. But the problem is that because we are dependent on our limited capacities, on our limited mental strengths and intelligence, ultimately everything will be frustrated. This was the observation of Albert Einstein, who said that you cannot solve the problem by the same mind which have produced or which have caused this problem. All the problems which we have ultimately is the production of our mind. Our imperfect intelligence and our mind is the cause of all the problems in this society. And then when the new problem comes, when the problem comes, we try to solve it with the same mind, on the same level of mentality. But it's not going to work, because you can only produce new problem, and more severe problem. And you make a solution, but the solution for the previous problem is the problem in itself. And it creates new problem, and new problem, and new problem. And it's a snowball, because people are only dependent on their intelligence, which is by definition limited. Because the intelligence is so limited, we cannot really solve our problems. And the solution is given here. Solution is to depend on the perfect intelligence, the perfect arrangement of the Supreme Lord, who is perfect by the very definition. But of course, for that, you need the leaders like Maharaja Yudhishthira. And it's basically impossible in the modern setup, because the modern setup is the democratic setup. And in democracy, you vote for somebody who promised to you more. You know, the lying scrupulous people, and they, in order to get more votes, they promise crazy things to people. Like in Russia, there is one very famous politician, and he made his political career because he promised that when I come to power, everyone, every man will have a bottle of vodka on his table every day. So that was his political program. Because they go low. That was actually the observation of Socrates. Socrates was explaining that democracy has the inherent flaw. Because the democracy, democratic system is dependent on the votes of the, you know, mass of people. And because the consciousness of the mass of people is, by definition, is not very elevated, then the leaders become degraded, degraded, and degraded. Because they're dependent on these votes of the of their voters. And therefore, the whole society goes to hell. It's basically inevitable, because you have to play with the needs and interests of these people with low consciousness. Whereas, you know, strong rulers like Maharaja Yudhishthira may not necessarily take the popular measures. But because they are guided by the higher principles, ultimately, the ultimate result is successful. Everyone is happy in such a state. But democratic system means, you know, you make a lot of noise. What is the election campaign? The election campaign is, you know, you make a lot of noise, and the more noise you will make, you will be elected. This is how the propaganda works. There was one scientific researcher, and she was researching the life of the wild monkeys, gorillas, in Africa jungles. And monkeys, they also live in flocks. They flock together. And they also have some kind of system. And they also have leaders. And modern leaders, of course, are something like monkeys. And the system which monkeys have for electing the leaders is somewhat similar with the modern democratic system. So she noticed, she was investigating how they elect the leader. Because leaders, they usually have some privileges. You know, monkey leader has so many female monkeys. And therefore, everyone wants to become monkey leader, right? So she was investigating and discovering how the election process is going on. When the old monkey leader dies or loses his position, how the new one is elected. So she came to a very amazing conclusion that the flock of monkeys get together and they make noise. And the monkey who makes more noise is being elected as the leader of the... So she noticed that one clever monkey, when the time of election came, he took some empty cans which some tourists left somewhere, you know, these metal cans which tourists left in the forest. And the monkey started, you know, banging these metal cans. And unanimously he was elected as the leader because the noise he produced was enormous. So the same system is going on in the modern society. The modern society, so-called human society, because there is no leaders, basically no leaders is being elected on the basis of their strong principles. The ultimate foundation of the success for human society is that you have to elect, or you have to place the leader who is guided by the higher principles. And if it's not there, the whole society goes to hell. This whole society is being destroyed. And Maharaja Yudhishthira, of course, the ideal king, described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is also very strongly emphasized in the Vedic literature that the leaders of the society are those who are capable of taking charge of other people. Actually, if we look at the modern leaders, most of them are not capable of being leaders because they only take care of themselves. In Shatapatha Brahmana, it is said that only Kshatriyas and Brahmanas can be the leaders of the society. Why? Because their consciousness is wide enough to take interests of other people close to their heart. Vaishyas, they cannot do this. They only have immediate interest of their family. And Shudras, they don't even care about the family. They mostly care about themselves. So the consciousness of the leader is the consciousness of someone who can take responsibility for other people. And basically, you are more capable of being the leader. The more capable you are of being the leader, the more capable you are of taking responsibility for others. Which is, of course, difficult, and nobody really wants it. But the proper training of the leaders is necessary to produce good society and to produce good leaders. There is a story about Maharaj Yudhishthira's youth. To show how the proper leaders have to be trained. It is said that once Maharaj Yudhishthira was studying in the Gurukul under the Guru, and the minister of the king came to inspect this Gurukul. He wanted to see the level of education of the children which are being studied there. And he asked different children, what do they know? What did they learn? And different children would say, I learned this, and I learned this, and I know this. And then when the turn of Maharaj Yudhishthira came, who was a young boy at that time, he was probably 7 years old or 8 years old, So this minister of the king asked young Maharaj Yudhishthira, "What did you learn?" And Maharaj Yudhishthira said, "I learned only the first sentence of our school book or ABC. I don't know anything else." And this minister was, initially he was shocked. He said, "How is that? You are here for a long time and you only learned one sentence." And he said, "Yes, what can I do? I only learned one sentence." But then the minister was pushing and pressing. He said, "It's not possible. Just one sentence. What about the second one?" He said, "Maybe I know a little bit about the second sentence, but not more, for sure." So then ultimately this minister became very angry. And he started beating Maharaj Yudhishthira. And he was beating and beating and beating. And but then, you know, after some time, he kind of became a little afraid, you know. After all, he is the heir of the throne, and he may become the king. And he thought, "Maybe I'm doing something wrong here." But then at that time, he saw the school book, which was open. And the first sentence in this school book was, "Never get angry and never get bitter, no matter what happens with you." So that was the first sentence. And then he looked at Maharaj Yudhishthira and saw Maharaj Yudhishthira was smiling. So he said, and then he looked in the second sentence. And second sentence was saying, "Always say truth and nothing but truth." So, and then he understood what Maharaj Yudhishthira meant when he said that, "I only know the first sentence." And he, you know, he folded his hands and he said, "Please, I beg your pardon. Please forgive me for this." Maharaj Yudhishthira said, "No, no, you're right. You were beating me correctly. Because when you were beating me, ultimately, I started kind of, you know, bitter about you and angry at you. And therefore, I understood that I don't even know the first sentence in the school book. What to speak about the rest of the book?" So, mainly, the training of the leaders is the training of a certain qualities. If the certain qualities are there, if the certain qualities are there in the leaders, then only you can have a normal society. Otherwise, the society will depend on the factories. Prabhupada was joking. He would say that, you know, you cannot eat nuts and bolts, you know, produced in the factories. You have to eat fruits. And of course, modern fruits are not much better than the nuts and bolts. You know, they're produced, they're like plastic. And people are so much, you know, trying to create this artificial civilization and depend on artificial means instead of depending on the Lord. And ultimately because the leaders of the society are not dependent on the Lord. This is the reason. They are depending on this artificial kind of things and they think they will be happy. Ultimately because the whole setup of the modern civilization is artificial, nobody is happy. I remember, and this is just modern propaganda, I remember when I was a child, it was some 40 years ago. So at that time, people started producing plastic. It was a new thing, you know. At that time, the plastic was something new. And I very much, you know, it's very much still clear in my consciousness that the propaganda at that time was that very soon we will produce so much plastic. And everyone will be so happy because of this plastic production. You know, that there will be houses made of plastic, and there will be this made of plastic, and that made of plastic. And I was thinking, you know, far out, this is so good. Everyone will be so happy. But no matter how much plastic you produce, nobody is happy. And vice versa, on the contrary, you produce so much plastic, and everyone is just, you know, suffocating because of the overproduction of plastic. Because it's not that the plastic makes you happy. The clean heart makes you happy. And the modern civilization, the setup of the modern civilization is just to make your heart dirty. And because your heart becomes more dirty and more dirty and more dirty, people become less happy and less happy and less happy. And this is the, you know, the vicious circle of the modern civilization. You cannot really do this. And of course, in these verses, again and again, Prabhupada emphasizes the responsibility of the leader. We have to really very clearly understand that everything depends on the leader. Whoever has the leading position, it's a heavy responsibility because everyone else's welfare depends on him, his principles. Ultimately, his integrity, his way of life, his honesty, and the principles which he is guided by. And as I said, the first sign of the leader is that he is selfless. Leader has to be selfless. Leader has to, you know, take care of the interest of others first, and then only about the interest of everyone else, his own interests. You know, like, I don't know how it is in America. Of course, we know this Bill Clinton and his moral principles, which are highly glorified all over the three worlds. But in Russia, you know, whoever becomes the president, he immediately becomes corrupt. Immediately. And not only in Russia, everywhere, you know. In India, whatever country you take, you know, generally, because of this system, leaders are corrupt. And because leaders are corrupt, they cannot properly lead others, and the whole society is suffering because of this. Like in Chandogya Upanishad, I believe, there is a story of the King Janashruti, which actually shows how important it is for the king to possess proper qualities. Yeah, I think it's Chandogya Upanishad. The story is quoted by Madhvacharya and by other commentators on Vedanta Sutra to prove that your position in the society is dependent not on your birth, not even on your education, and not even on your pious activities. Your position in the society is dependent on your qualities, on your internal qualities, which are very deep there in the heart. So this story about King Janashruti describes how this king was very pious, was extremely pious king, and he was feeding poor, and he was making universities, educational institutions. And because of that, he became proud. And because he became proud, he became attached. Because the pride is the, you know, the link for attachments. It's actually what makes us attached. And he became proud, you know, I'm such a pious king. And everyone is so happy being under me. And he became attached. And because he became attached, he actually lost his position, proper position of the leadership. But at the same time, he was an illusion. I am the greatest king. I'm, you know, doing so much pious activities. Everyone is so happy under me. And two rishis, two sages who were there in his country, they decided to deliver him from this situation which he was in. And they were, you know, discussing with each other, look what this king is doing. He thinks he is so good. And he has such a good ancestors, and he is fallen, you know. Of course, you know, according to our standards, this King Janashruti was not fallen at all. He was really a pious king. But according to the highest standard, he was fallen. They told he's fallen. So they decided to make a trick. So they, with King Janashruti, they took shape of the swans. And these two swans, they were flying in the sky. And King Janashruti was sleeping in the roof of his palace. And he was, you know, going to bed, and he was very happy, and he was thinking how pious I am and how good I am. And and then he heard two swans are flying over him. And one swan told another swan, be careful, we are approaching King Janashruti, and his piety is so big that if you fly over him, he will burn you by his tejas. And when he heard this, he became very pleased. He thought, you know, see, I am appreciated even by the animals in my kingdom. You know, even the animals are broadcasting my glories. But then, and basically the meaning of this, it was a sarcastic remark. The meaning of this was that, you know, don't come close to this king, because this king is so proud. And if you don't flatter him, he will just burn you. He will just punish you. But he took it literally, and he became very happy. And then another swan told, you know, who is this king? He is nothing. He is just mud. He is just, you know, he is the lowest of human beings. He thinks he is so great. He thinks he is getting all the pious activities. But he doesn't know that all the pious activities which he is doing, the credit is not going to him. The credit is going to one Raikyamuni. And Raikyamuni, he is there, he is under the cart. He is somewhere sleeping under the cart. So whatever this king is doing, the credit is not going to him. It's going to the Raikyamuni. Because he knows, he has the spiritual knowledge, and this king is ignorant. So when this king heard this, it was like the sharp arrow pierced his heart. He couldn't sleep. He was just, you know, it was so painful for him, because he thought, you know, how is that possible? I'm such a good and nice and pious king, and, you know, some Raikyamuni is taking all my credits, and somebody is greater than me. He was totally devastated. So the first thing which he did, he got up early in the morning. He couldn't sleep. He had a sleepless night. He got his servant and he said, you go and find this Raikyamuni. I want to speak with him. And the servant went around and he was trying to find some muni, but he couldn't find. And he came and he said to the king, you know, my dear, your majesty, there is no Raikyamuni here. I couldn't find him. And then he said, you go back. And unless you find this Raikyamuni, don't come back. Otherwise, I will, you know, punish you and put you in jail. So this assistant, he was, you know, running and running and running everywhere. Ultimately, he came to the outskirts of the city and he saw some, you know, cart. And he saw some man lying under the cart. And he was, like, you know, scratching his body, you know. He looked really, you know, strange. He was lying under the cart and, you know, scratching like this. And of course, the meaning of the scratching is that what he wanted to say, you're all scratching and scratching and scratching. You're all engaged in sense gratification. And I'm lying there and I can scratch myself here. I'm not dependent on this. So the servant of the king said, you should go to the king. And he said, who is this king? Who he thinks he is? He should come to me if he wants to see me. So this servant ran back and he said, your majesty, I found this Raikyamuni, but he doesn't want to come to you. You have to go to him. And king, because he was properly trained and he was the man of the Vedic civilization, he knew that he has to go to the sage. So he went to the sage with a very, you know, humble mood and with his folded hands. And at the same time, his whole heart is paining. And he's lamenting because, you know, his false ego is hurt by this remark of the swans. So he comes to the Raikyamuni and he says, my dear Muni, can you give me spiritual knowledge? Because I heard that whoever has the spiritual knowledge, he gets all the credits of all the pious activities, and I don't have spiritual knowledge. And this Raikyamuni looks at him and he says, you Shudra, get out of here. I don't want to look at your face. Get out of here. You know, and he said, why you're Shudra? Because the definition of Shudra, the one who laments. You know, and the king came and he doesn't have a face, you know, he's dying. He's lamenting. He said, you Shudra, get out of here. Because the cause of lamentation is attachment. And because the king was so attached, he degraded to the position of Shudra. And this Raikyamuni, he said, I don't even want to speak with you. You know, unless you get rid of your Shudra mentality, of your Shudra nature, don't even come close to me. It is said that actually Shudras, Madhvacharya explains, commenting on this story, he says that Shudras are prohibited to study Vedic literature. Shudras are, they cannot study Vedas because when they study Vedas, what they will do? When the Shudras study Vedas, because they're so self-centered, they will distort Vedic knowledge. They will explain it in such a way that it will serve their interests. Instead of explaining the truth, because they are so selfish, they will just, you know, distort the Vedic knowledge. Therefore, they cannot do this. It's prohibited for them. This is, you know, very common, common thing in modern society that, you know, Shudras, they become so-called spiritual leaders and they distort the knowledge of the scriptures. You know, Prabhupada, his glory was that he was giving everything as it is. He was not distorting. He was not trying to adjust the scriptures to his own self-interest. Like there is a famous story about one Muslim, and this Muslim was a debauchee, and he was leading a good life. You know, he was drinking and having women, and you know, he was a first-class debauchee. And Mullah came to him, and Mullah said, "My dear son, what are you doing? Don't you know that in the Holy Quran it is said that if you lead this kind of life, if you just, you know, eat, drink, and, you know, do all these kind of things, you just go to hell." And he said, no, my dear Mullah, you don't know Quran properly. In Quran it says, eat, drink, and be merry. And Mullah, when he heard this, he said, "My dear son, that's correct. It is said in Quran, eat, drink, and be merry, but don't you know what is said in the next line of this verse? It is said, eat, drink, and be merry, and you will spoil your life, and you will go to hell." And this man said, "You know, my dear Mullah, nobody can follow all the scriptures perfectly. I follow the first line. Somebody else can follow the second line." So this is Shudra mentality. Shudra mentality is you adjust and you distort everything which would serve you. You cannot, you don't have integrity and mental or honesty to take the scriptures as they are. Because sometimes scriptures are heavy. Scriptures must be heavy. So, and therefore this Rakyamuni, he said, "Get out of here. Who do you think you are?" You know, and this king, he became even more hurt. Of course, modern leaders probably would put this Rakyamuni in prison immediately because he didn't respect him properly. But because this Janasaruti was the man of Vedic civilization, he came back to his home and he thought, you know, what shall I do? You know, yes, I am Shudra. I am Shudra because I lament. Yes, I am Shudra because I have so much attachments. What shall I do now? And then he decided, yeah, because I have so much attachment, he understood actually, deep in the heart, he said, "Yes, I am fallen." Fallen means I am attached. And then he decided, okay, I have last chance. I have to get spiritual knowledge from this Muni. And he took everything which he had. He put all his riches and he even took his daughter. And he put it on the cards and he came to this Rakyamuni and he said, "My dear Muni, you know, I don't have anything. And I don't have anything to offer to you. But I do have some, you know, tiny riches and wealth and my daughter. Please take it and take this daughter and become her husband. And, you know, take whatever you want. But give me spiritual knowledge." Because he was trained properly, because this desire in the heart, because he knew that actually happiness depends on the purity of the heart. The happiness depends only on this, on how your heart is pure and how you are capable of having or transmitting or, you know, realizing the spiritual knowledge. And because he had this very clear understanding, this, you know, this trick of the swans worked. He understood, "I'm wrong, I'm mistaken, I think I'm great, I think I'm such a great Muni and such a great this and that, or not Muni, king, and such a pious creature, but ultimately I'm wrong, because I don't have the most important thing." Actually, these saints, they said that how it works, that the pious credit goes to one who has spiritual knowledge. They said that when you throw your dice, and you play the game of dice, then whoever gets more, he gets everything, because he got more. So this sage said, whoever has spiritual knowledge, because spiritual knowledge is the highest thing in this world, spiritual knowledge is the highest achievement, whoever has this, he has everything else. Everything else is included into the equation. It's already there. But if you then have the spiritual knowledge, you're poor. No matter how much wealth you have, no matter how much pious activities you have, the greatest riches in the heart is this mahadhan, this greatest wealth which can be there is this brahmagyan, is spiritual knowledge. Knowledge that I am spirit soul and ultimately I am the servant of Kishore Kishori. And if one has this understanding, then only he can be the leader. Then only he can give up the selfish mentality, self-centered mentality. And then only he can become happy himself. And by being happy himself, he can make everyone else happy. Because this is how it works. You can only be happy. You can only make happy others if you are happy yourself. And you become happy when your heart is pure, when your heart is clean. And this is the secret of success. Success in our personal life and in the life of the society. And, you know, this is the universal secret. You have to surrender yourself to the Lord. You have to take the will of the Lord as the main guiding principle in your life. And if the will of the Lord is the main guiding principle, and the will of the Lord is, of course, expressed in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, and it expressed through the mouth of his pure devotee, through the mouth of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. So if you do this, then your heart becomes clean. And when your heart becomes clean, you become happy. Because the dirt is the cause of pain. So that's, I think I should stop now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.